I think we're ready.
Okay, we are recording.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Happy New Year. This is the first Space Virgins of 2025. We are in the future, unless you're watching this on video, and then we are in the past. And if you're watching this now, as in the three of us, we're in the present. Wrap your brains around that.
Okay, I think what we're saying is it's 2025. Here we
The
go.
numbers go up.
Yeah, the numbers go up.
Do you reckon this will be better
Drew,
or worse
you've
than
gone quiet, Drew.
2024?
Yeah, I'm muted because I'm hammering my enter key to try and fix it.
Oh, I
Don't worry about
see.
it.
Okay, I wondered what was going on
I was
there.
not. I was nodding along now.
Fair enough.
All right. Is ham? Are you hammering your enter key? Is that what you're doing instead of playing Rocket League now?
Is
Oh,
it
right.
not be easier to pop it off?
Yeah. So you got.
Wouldn't that
Yeah.
be? Yeah. Welcome to the Drew and his keyboard stream, show
So,
rather.
what I did when I was when I had my mechanical keyboard is you can take off all the keys when you want to wash them, put them into like a sock laundry bag, and stick them in the washing machine for a
Does
short
Drew
spell.
strike you as the kind of person that would have a sock laundry bag?
I'm not entirely sure he strikes me as the person who would have a washing machine.
Or sock.
Or sock, yeah. No need for them in his life.
I usually do it by hand. Yeah, I pop off all keys and do it by hand in a tub with some soapy water and wish them around, then a tub with clean water, then clean water again. And but yeah, I need to pop the key off and blow because these are top row switches, so dust gets in the blah blahs and it stops working. But I need to find a key puller for that. So where's my fucking key puller? Anybody know? Carry on though.
No, I
I
know
mean
where
you can.
mines are because I've got like a big tub for keys and key
Yeah,
pullers and
mine just go on the floor in a
mechanical
very dark
key
room.
mechanisms and all
Where's
sorts.
mine? I don't know where mine is.
To be fair, Chris, neither of us finding ours will help, Drew.
That's right. I can squeeze it really
I'd
tight
just be
with
like
my.
kind of pushing it, sort of, what do you call it, rubbing his nose in it.
Yeah, that
This
was
is
the idea.
the best intro we've ever done so far.
Oh no, hang on a minute.
Drew's
We
light is
let me find my thing.
very sci-fi, Drew, the way it sort of
Yeah.
comes and
Where
goes out in the
have I
background.
gone?
Where's my box of keys gone? Sorry, this was a rich. I promise this would have been funnier if I could have found my keys. Oh, there we go. Right. Forget this. Forget this. Right, here we go. Right.
I've got like five of them, but they end up on the floor and then they're just fucking gone.
Okay. Here you go, Drew. Do you want to borrow mine?
Yes. Oh, cheers.
Oh,
That would have been
yeah.
better if I found mine and I could, do a sleight
Yeah.
of hand. That would have been. Fuck
Wow,
it.
okay.
I'll have to live without an enter key. It's fine.
Who needs an enter key anyway?
Exactly.
It's not like you use it very often.
Not like I'm doing
No.
data entry.
See, if you had a full keyboard, you'd have two, sort of two enter keys. Do you know what about the enter key and the return key, right? Is they're the same in a lot of instances, but different in a lot of other instances. And I never quite,
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
I
It's like
never
the two
quite.
inserts, the one on the keypad and the other one. I swear, like, or some of. Anyway, can I just share a frustration with you, right? If I do this and press the enter key, just tap it gently, works perfectly. If I do this and hammer it even, it doesn't work.
Sounds like the mechanism's buggered and the spring's not springing back.
No,
Rogue
no, no.
Trump.
Top-ray switches are very simple, but it's just because it's a capacitive switch.
Right.
So dust gets in it and it starts behaving oddly.
Oh,
Anyway,
sure. Yeah.
I'll just keep hammering it while we're.
I know I've talked about this a little bit. I'm still on the old Mac keyboard, the flat button scissor switches, I think they are. Very nice, really. I ideally, I think my ideal keyboard size is like a 75%. So that's like a full keyboard like this, but without the keypad on the end there. Now, I do find some use for the keypad in terms of like window management, window tiling and all that kind of stuff. It's nice to have like a little section over there that's just for window managing the windows, flicking them across screens or half maximizing them or quarter maximizing them. But I think I got my brother a 75 for Christmas, not this Christmas, last Christmas a year ago. And it was like, oh, I kind of really, there's a part of me that wish I got that for myself, to be honest. It was just red cherry red switches, American layout, because that seemed to be like
really quite
common. Although if I'm right in thinking, you can get the American layouts, but then just put British keys on it.
No,
and then no, it doesn't.
No,
the ISO
layer on the right hand side is different from the American. From the
some keys that are straight up different. But if you wanted a pound sign, you could.
Oh yeah, that. you could put a three.
Yeah.
Three,
no, but since going to the happy hacking layout, I couldn't even go back to another 60%. The happy hacking layout is the correct layout.
But you don't even have arrow keys.
What the fuck are they?
They're the ones like I use them in text editing. You use Vim keys though, don't you?
Yeah. HJKL.
Or Vim keys, or the or in other programs like the Emacs bindings, you know, Control B, Control F, and so on.
Control B,
Control E, Control A, Control F. W.
I don't think I'm that keyboard minded yet, but you did manage to get me to switch out all my quick launch buttons with key. Shortcut keys, and that's only been positive for me.
I was thinking the other day regarding cursor keys. So up until like 10-15 years ago, I was insistent about playing FPSs on the cursor keys instead of WASD, because on 100% keyboard, up probably about 10-15 years ago, I switched to WASD just because I couldn't be asked to set it up anymore. But on 100% keyboard with the cursor keys, you've got far more keys around you that you can reach. You've got keys to the left and keys to the right. Whereas on WSD, there's nothing to the left.
Yeah, but people have started using like ESDF and
RDGFG and stuff like that. So you've got more.
I mean, what you could do is you could have RFDG because the F has the raised nipple. So you can always find it.
That'd be perfect. Yeah, and then you've got tons of keys around.
Although technically EDSF, you could use the nipple would be on your right on the right.
Yeah, I think ESDF. I think as Hamish says, is something that some people move to. Like
that makes a lot more sense. Actually,
it does. Doesn't it? Yeah,
it's good. That would be very difficult for me to get used to.
And also, I think you'd switch quite quickly because the shapes are the same. Unlike going from cursors to WASD.
Yeah, I mean, I use tab, caps lock, shift, and control. That's one set row of keys, but then you have another row of keys if you move.
But your full extension of like your pinky. If you're on WSD, your full extension of your pinky is going nowhere. Like there's nothing over there. Like you're not making full use of, you know.
Yeah, although. Especially with like Deus Ex, where you want to have your augmentations nearby. I don't like the F keys. I like having something like But then again, I'm not usually one for customizing layouts.
I used to be, but I can't be asked anymore. I'll customize something that's ridiculous, but otherwise,
Deus Ex is kind of a bit ridiculous. Morrowind's a little bit ridiculous. Morrowind needs a few changes, like for example
Morrowind's fucking stupid. Space is activated by default.
Yeah, and you want E. Which should be activate.
E to activate, space to jump.
And I don't like should right click. I mean, I don't even know if I changed this, but right click to open all your menu bits. Oh, I suppose that's a bit
I never changed that. I really like that. People rag on it, but I think Morrowind has the best UI of any game ever.
Yes.
Windows that you can actually drag around, arrange how you want them, drag between inventory and the world. It's perfect.
Yeah. It's like, I reckon I'm sure there have been projects that have tried this but not finished. If they tried to make Oblivion in Morrowind, I would love that. That would be,
because people do the reverse of that. That's what I want. Yeah. I want the Oblivion world and quests with Morrowind. Character mechanics and so on,
and the Morrowind engine is in my opinion,
so they're quite different then, are they?
Very different.
I think they're iterations of the same engine, But the thing is, with Morrowind, when people make mods, you know, texture mods, lighting mods, sound mods, all that kind of stuff, you can make Morrowind, a game that was released in, what, 2003? Like, look and sound amazing. Yeah. The best they've done with Oblivion is make it fine.
Well, you can't get rid of those potato faces.
You can't get rid of those potato faces. Oh, there are mods for better faces. Do you reckon?
Yeah, but they're still, it's got that inherent potato-iness.
And also the fact that there's only three people doing all of the voices.
Yes.
They should not have. And the thing about Oblivion that always ticks me off is the amount of stuff they cut because they couldn't fit all the voice on it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, like if you have to voice
acting in games was a mistake. Stop doing it, devs.
Yeah. Yeah.
No more voice acting.
Yeah. And
everything's been very quiet throughout this, and I'm feeling intimidated.
Intimidated?
You've got a very intimidating expression on your face, and I'm frightened.
I think Hamish would love Morrowind, but you've not played it, have you?
Yeah, I've got
Morrowind, but I've not played it yet because I'm waiting for help to get it set up properly with OpenMW.
I will caveat that. I will say Hamish will love Morrowind if he can get through the first 5 hours or so.
No, Hamish is... See, because it's old school like Hamish. Like, with Hamish, right? Like,
old school like Hamish.
Yeah, like it does the ways that make sense to Hamish. Like, it gives you instructions that you follow. It doesn't hold your hand you know. It gives you... It says...
I'm thinking more about... Miss. Your sword is quite clearly going through them.
No, yeah, but Hamish is right tabletop.
Yeah. You're okay with that? Okay. I like combat being dice roll.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If it's just a representation of an RPG style thing, that's fine.
Mm.
That's a tabletop type thing, you know.
In fact, I might even go so far as to say that if Hamish would have become more acquainted with the Elder Scrolls world, he might even prefer Daggerfall.
I think Daggerfall's a step too far, but...
Which one's that?
I know what you mean.
It's one before Morrowind.
Oh, before Morrowind, right. Okay.
Where it's more complex.
And it has, so each iteration of Morrowind, they make the sort of the quests kind of richer, but the mechanics poorer.
Mm.
So in Daggerfall, you can scale walls, I can't think of all the things you can do, but you can, like, your amount of sort of, like... immersive sim freedom is very high and it goes down each time. For me, Morrowind is the sweet spot, but there's arguments, you know.
For me, Morrowind is also the sweet spot. But
I know Anjun's a big fan of...
Oblivion's alright.
Oblivion is the next one, isn't it? So that's Anjun's one.
Yes, but she's... The reason Anjun likes Oblivion, I think, and Skyrim is she wants a beautiful world is part of what she wants. She wants a beautiful world. She wants an immersive world. So she mods the shit out of it. And, you know, as like dark is actually dark and, you know, day, night, and like making it a bit more survivally, like you can cook food and stuff. I think she does. Which is, she's appreciating a different aspect of the game than I'm appreciating, I think.
Okay.
But see, it's peculiar to me that you, Drew, and have not fallen into the Fallout games, given how similar they are to Morrowind.
My problem with... I enjoyed Fallout 3. I played a lot of it, and I did enjoy it. But my problem with those games... First of all, they don't have the... for me, the joy of Morrowind is things like the permanent enchantments. It takes a lot of work in-game, but you can permanently enchant things, and it's in very specific ways, so your character won't be like anybody else's character. And you can choose what kind of god you want to be, basically. And none of the other Bethesda games have that. But aside from that, I don't like jokey worlds. I don't like worlds that don't take themselves seriously. I can't be immersed in a world that is fundamentally unserious.
It's not that unserious, is it?
That's very unserious. It's very... None of it makes sense. Nothing in Fallout makes sense.
I guess. Fair point.
Which isn't like, it's not a judge, it's not an objective judgment. Just I personally can't get immersed when the world doesn't take itself seriously.
Yeah, I know. And like there's the scientists that live in a mountain that have put their head into computers and then spend the rest of eternity squabbling. Like it's a little bit.
That's stuff I like. I like that stuff.
But that's not taking itself seriously.
No. But it's what, like, I'll play it like when it's not taking itself seriously well. I can enjoy it, but I don't get immersed is really the only thing. So I never play them for as long as I can enjoy it, but I don't get immersed. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel, because Morrowind felt like inhabiting a real fucking place.
I was, yeah, no, I think like, Fallout immersed me.
Like my memory of Morrowind is not a game I played. It's a place I spent some time in, which very few other games have managed to, you know.
Yeah, I get a little bit like that with Deus Ex.
Little bit with Deus Ex, yeah.
Yeah, if it was more, dare I say it, immersive simmy, then I think I would probably, you know, because the thing about Deus Ex that I could quite happily have gone back to New York a few more times.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, have
although based... watching Hamish's stream, Hamish very much just wants it to end at this point, which is something I feel in linear games. I think it's something that I feel like there comes a point where I'm just like, even though I like long games, when I know I'm close to the end, I just want it to end.
Yeah, I'm in a lot of optional bits that I've sort of set up to be there.
Yeah, I need to watch your last stream on that one, actually.
It's not up yet. I did it today.
Oh, you did today, didn't you? I did see the notification. I've got two to catch up on then.
I was watching, but I was heavily distracted by Danny.
Danny was there as well. Days? Danny came and said hello.
What the fuck was Danny? She was updating her Steam profile. Pimping it out, you might say, and preparing for a big trip.
Is that what the thing about the cosmetic store thing was about then?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. She was trying to link to a particular item, but yeah.
So, The Expanse, I believe.
Okay,
we sometimes watch.
So this is interesting. I kind of felt like this episode was a little bit of a breather before the final two episodes. Okay,
so sorry, I just realized that my camera's very low and I have my belly out, and I'm apologizing to the audience for seeing my belly.
I don't think we saw it. I think the flag was in the way.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
This felt like it was a little bit of a breather between two big bits, right? We just had two big episodes. This is a little bit of a recap, not a recap, but a catch your breath a little bit.
You know what? Yeah. You know what I feel it was a bit like? I feel that it was a bit like what happens to Holden in this episode is where we're at. It's like things are going on still, but we're sort of like restarting.
That's interesting. I like that.
But there's one part of this episode that really stuck out to me.
You said you had a note. Do you remember your note?
Oh, I do have a note. So the bit that stuck out to me was the bit between Ashford and Kamina.
Yeah, Ashford and Drummond's little thing is pretty good, yeah.
Yeah,
like, every little thing, they're both really resourceful and really techie, and every little thing they try, something goes just slightly wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
I like that. It's another little bit, like the slingshotter who goes through the gate. It's a thing that it's like a nice little, it's like a little short film. It's a story in itself. You could watch that bit without any context and enjoy it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true, yeah.
And I really sort of it sets their relationship up between Captain and XO nicely.
Oh, well, I know the Captain.
Well, I don't believe Kamina's gone. Right? She's not dead, is she?
I mean, there's no proton molecule happening here.
No, but like, so what I think happened is that. So Kamina basically sacrificed herself to free Ashford because it came to the point where if they stay where they are, they're both going to just like bleed out, clot, die, etc. They're probably in one random warehouse of the massive drum, so it could be forever, and no one knows where they are, so it could be forever. That you know, they could literally be there for a long time. Like Kamina does the selfless thing of, all right, I'm gonna shift the drone thing one way. Ashford gets out, but he immediately calls for medical attention. He spins up the drum, and then which gives the gravity so that so because it was like the thought was right. If we're clotted, we're fucked because zero G, but. His smart thinking of spinning up the drum might have saved them both, I think. Because, if they were in zero G, Kamina would be fucked. But
I mean, not to spoilers or whatever, or to prejudice the jury, but like that she's trapped between two fucking tractors. One crushes her against the other one. You hear a big crunch and she goes limp. I don't think there's any ambiguity there. My setup, putting teleological-ology aside, that seems quite...
And as Drew says, there's no protomolecule here. There's no...
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not saying one way or the other. We're just saying,
We're not saying don't mistake it.
For any magical,
that's how I would read that. That is, to me, that is the cinematography telling me, you know, yeah, cinematography.
And he doesn't argue when people call him captain. I notice he took to that quickly.
But yeah,
he doesn't say acting captain
or your captain.
You don't have acting captain. There is only captain.
No, if there's a captain on board and you're acting. In that third, I think they say, well, in Star Trek, they say.
Yeah, in Star Trek, they do.
Oh,
excuse me,
I'm stretching again. No, she should at least have killed Ashford. I mean, I like Ashford, but like...
Oh, I think, him instead of her, you mean? He's great too, though. I love him.
Yeah, he better be good. But look, it's
very different from the character in the books. In a lot of ways,
he sends her off to the med. He sends her off to get.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to just go fuck it, walk away, is he? He's human.
There might be a chance she might pull through.
Oh yeah,
maybe.
She's gone to live on a farm.
With the Mormons.
See, the thing is, I don't know if you're just fucking with me or whether or not you're just trying to temper my expectations. And I genuinely don't know.
Well, I mean, the other big thing out of this scene, since we're talking about the spinning up the drum, this shows... Well, it's the humanitarian thing to do anyway, and also it shows political thinking from Ashford, as he invites everybody who's inside the ring space, or whatever you want to call it. Ring space sounds a bit weird. But he invites everybody to send, you know, they're injured and stuff, so they can get them a bit of low G instead of no G, instead of micro G, you know.
I think this is a little bit of a political lesson narrative, in that it's like you win, it's like it's a bit like the Machiavellian would you rather be feared or loved type of, like, you can attract more flies with honey than with vinegar, right? Like, it's like,
you know
it's like they have it will help the Belters' position if, rather than having the biggest warship, that they have the biggest hospital ship, right? Basically,
that's
the only ship that can do it as well, which is quite interesting.
That's a thread running through Dawesian Belter political science, I think. Like, B, don't be what they think we are. B, show them that we are better than
kindness wins. You know, wins the situation, as it were. I think that is sort of intrinsically Belterish. Belters are like, they're a bit punk, aren't they? Where it's like, you know, you might look at them and think, oh, hardy bunch of tough nuts. But sorry, am I someone's granny or something?
What, with the cardigans?
Some rough customers,
but with hearts of gold. You know, like, it's like, yeah, but when shit hits the fan, they'll help when
well, I mean, if anything, the Belters produce the most experienced and capable, you know, spacefarers, you know, kind of equivalent of seafarers, because that's what they do. That's what a lot of the people that live in the Belt and work in the Belt are, the people that are doing all the things all the time. Whereas so they've got a huge merchant navy force. It's not joined together, but it's like a merchant navy. And it's huge because it has to be for logistical reasons. Whereas Earth or the UNN and MCRN have got, like, you know, literally battle fleets, and everything else is sort of secondary to them. It's a bit like, you know, a bit like America, I suppose. And you know,
and also, I'd imagine
particularly in the past.
your average Belter doctor is probably better equipped, with experience and all that, your average UNN. Your average UNN doctor probably is used to working in 1G.
UNN doctor.
Probably not seen like the array of injuries that that happen when you're doing industrial stuff.
Yeah, yes. But then of course Belters, there's industrial accidents happen all the time.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, well, we saw that right at the start with on the Canterbury.
Yeah,
remember the cat?
Absolutely. I think that this is a turning point for the Belters. I think I'm like they're doing stuff with Kamina. Like the Doctor is like, they don't explicitly say she's dead, right?
Neither of us said it verbally, but
to me if there's a crunch noise and somebody goes limp, that usually,
Yeah, but then with Amos and Alex, they were like knocked out cold,
let's not jump around because I know you're obsessed with this with drummer. Can we finish the thing about the we'll go to the Rocinante once we finish with this.
Yeah, but obsessed. I mean, what I'm saying is that they were knocked out cold. If a person is knocked out cold for like a while, then that's a big problem. Like,
yeah.
Well, I know. We'll come to the Rocinante in a bit. So they spin up the drum, and because that gives the 1/3 G in the inner surface, the inside surface of it, they're able to help everybody, and they put the call out. And, I mean, he doesn't hesitate. He doesn't ask anyone else. He doesn't discuss it with any of the crew. He just does it. And that's... not just that. I mean... they were taking soundings before a lot more. Also, there was kind of a three-way thing when Naomi was there. Even though she was the chief engineer, she was still kind of almost the second. Well, she was technically I suppose she was de facto second, first officer before Ashford arrived,
And while he was there, which
was part of the problem. Yeah.
The bit where my notes said is that Ashford says decelerate.
Yeah.
He says, "Oh, I think we decelerated something hard," or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Decelerating isn't a thing, is it?
No, it's vernacular. Yeah.
I mean, it describes a thing.
I know.
Hang on a minute.
It's a
that
vernacular
kind of deceleration. Word.
Deceleration is not a thing in the same sense that cold is not a thing. It's just lack of heat.
Yeah.
It's semantic, but it's a useful word. It's a useful word that means
it tells you that the acceleration happened in the opposite direction to what it was.
Yeah,
but if the speed limit of that bubble drops, then
everybody slows down.
Okay. I don't know where I'm going with that. I thought I was. I thought I was going to make a clever point, and then it didn't manifest.
You know what? Like it's because you need to have a metal ruler so you can point to the ends of it. Like that helps you make sense.
That does win all arguments.
It does partly.
But Hamish can be completely fucking wrong. He gets the rule right.
Hamish can be what? Sorry?
Yeah. Oh. No, yeah, good point. I understand now.
That's
how it works, isn't it?
I need a fucking ruler.
Yeah. I mean, we could also get into the argument that it's actually called a rule, but I'm a ruler sort of person. I know somebody used to get annoyed with me about it.
What's that? I've never heard that. What's that?
A rule. What that is. That's what it is.
Other teachers
that's
call it
that.
So where does ruler come from?
I think it's like past tense or something like that.
Ruler.
I didn't know that.
I've heard teachers say, "Oh, get out your 1 meter rules."
1 meter.
Oh, wow, there's a thing called...
You had a class full of kids with fucking 1 meter rules. Jesus, how big are your school bags?
You do. You have the 1 meter rule. Every teacher has a 1 meter rule.
Yeah, a meter stick, yeah. Yeah, but the whole class doesn't have
meter
one
stick.
Each.
Yeah, meter stick. Yeah, no, that's what meter they were stick. Called.
Okay, so rule. Oh, there's a thing. There's a website called wikidiff.com, and it's the differences between A and B. That's the whole what's the difference between
rule
A
and ruler and things like that? Yeah,
rule.
Die and dice.
Yeah, but a rule, an uncivil rule. I don't know what that means. Exception proves the rule. Golden rule. I don't know. That's not actually a very good website. I mean, it's probably good in certain circumstances. What's this website? Adafruit.com. Is there a difference between ruler and rule?
Adafruit make electronic stuff. That's excellent. I use their stuff.
Yeah. I wondered why that was familiar.
Just you think you know everything about rulers, tape measures, and similar tools, you learn something new. I always thought that when someone used the term rule instead of ruler, they were just being pretentious. It turns out, as James points out in this Stumpy Nubs video, there is a difference. A ruler starts with the first mark, e.g. 1, inset from the edge. Rulers are used in education, working with paper and other applications where you want confidence in a beginning mark. A rule has the beginning measurement at a well-rounded edge with no initial measurement. A rule is used in woodworking and other situations where you are measuring from inside angles and the like. Oh. Cool. I just put a new wrinkle on my brain.
That's interesting.
Okay, so the difference between a rule and a ruler is that a rule starts right at the edge, and then a ruler is used in woodwork where it is inset a little
bit. One, that is a rule.
That's a rule.
It's got zero comma and then one comma.
Yeah. Who said this wasn't educational?
Yeah, this is not an educational podcast.
This absolutely is an educational podcast. Yes. Is.
Okay, I feel confident in saying there has never been anything more educational than this in history.
Okay, Chris, so I don't know if you can see that.
No, not really.
Why have you all got rules/rulers?
Because, to draw straight lines or...
No, use a straight edge for drawing a straight line, Christopher.
That's why I have a metal one for working with crafting cutting. Stuff. A
straight edge? What's a straight edge?
Like that without the markings?
A rule/ruler can be a straight edge, but it doesn't need markings. The ones you would use in... Yeah, same thing, but without markings.
But you turn it over for that. So you've got a bit of a...
I mean, yeah, the lack of markings doesn't help in any way. I was just being pedantic for no reason.
Okay, anyway, I don't know if you can see this. What about this one? These are rulers because, see, it's inset a little bit there.
It is.
So.
You look very pleased to have learned this new fact.
Yeah.
I was too.
I'm very happy that Chris is happy.
It's a good fact.
So I've got three rulers, but no rules.
Fuck the rules, man.
There we go. And Hamish has a rule.
And I have neither rules nor rulers.
That sounds like some sort of anarchist slogan there, doesn't it?
No masters. Anyway, so they spin up the drum. Where did we? I can't even remember how we go. Oh yeah, because of the. So they've got one third G, and that's going to help. Yeah, that's going to help a lot of people who've got very simple injuries, but would have under microgravity would be fatal.
So I wonder what is going to happen now. Are they going to be like, oh, this place is a bit dangerous? Maybe we should just go home and have lemonade.
Well, we've had that discussion as well. That it would take them 7 months to get out.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another pressing problem. They don't have supplies for 7 months for all the people that are, even the surviving, even though only about a third of the people that went in are still alive. Two thirds, because a third got injured, a third died on each ship, more or less, by the sounds of things. Yeah, so they've got the problem that they've got if unless the speed limit goes up again, it'll take them 7 months to get from where they are to the mill, and everything that was moving beyond the speed limit is now being pulled towards the station into an orbit around the station at the centre. So that means the big ships are all, you know, so even the things that can move would have to be loaded up with people, loaded up with supplies. There's a lot going on there. And they can't get a signal out either. They can't radio out and say, look, can you meet us halfway at least and maybe we can make it or whatever. You know, I don't know how many supplies they've got, you know.
Yeah. Can but they can't signal back outside of the ring, can they?
No, that's what I'm saying. The signal's not travelled out.
Yeah.
And the fastest they can send a probe or even, you know, a relay probe or whatever is still the same, unfortunately, you know. It can't get faster than light or light speed communication until it gets out of the ring. Yeah.
That's a problem.
So there's quite a lot of problems building up. And one of them has been solved, or at least mitigated by the spinning up the drum and inviting everybody to bring their injured across, you know.
Yeah, although, like, so I'm guessing since it's roughly about a third, does that mean that if you were in bed strapped in, you were probably okay, but if you weren't...
That's what Anna was. She was strapped in her bed, yeah.
Well, so...
And it depends. Depends how fast the ships are moving as well, because some of them are maybe not all racing. They seem to mostly all be racing towards the station once they found out what was happening, didn't they?
Yeah, but I think so. If a third
to catch
of people
the
on a ship,
ante, basically.
Yeah, if a third of people on a ship at any one time are asleep, because presumably everything works in shifts, right?
Yeah, but it's not just that. That it wasn't just people who were asleep.
No, but that's like a third accounted for.
But that's not quite how. That was just some people were doing that. Yeah, they'd be strapped into the bunks, but not everybody. You know, not everybody wasn't. Some people would be able to grab a railing and what have you, and you know the.
Yeah, and they'd be up against like a wall or something, so it'd be like, oh, that was nasty.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at where Melba and Tilly were, Melba was bashed around and she broke her arm, but Tilly was impaled on something. So you know, there's just luck involved as to what happens to you, you know, in any sort of incident like that.
Yeah. So yeah, life lottery, right?
So the problem we've got is we can't communicate outside, and they can't get out any quicker than you know approximately 7 months because it's 100 meters a second instead of kilometers a second.
So the aim of the game is to work out how to increase the speed limit, presumably.
But that's the problem we have. That's not something under their control.
Was it the Martians firing and throwing grenades and stuff inside the station?
It was the grenade that did it, yeah. The bullets were slowed down, but the grenade was what made them change everything, yeah.
Right, yeah. And that was just some daft...
Well, he panicked, that officer
and
panicked.
I coined a word while watching this, I believe I coined a word. Well, so when we're on Naomi's ship and we see the slow-mo explosion...
Mm.
Oh, the skiff, right, yeah.
I called that an explomo.
I like it. Very nice. Nice use of portmanteau.
Yes.
No, I wasn't drinking. No, that did not deserve a laugh.
And no, that's why I did what I did. That wasn't a laugh.
Okay, good.
Oh, you and your poor man's toe. So, do you want to go to the UN and Kevin Prince?
Kevin Prince.
Thomas Prince.
The UNN Tim.
Yeah. Right, okay, so we're over there. I've just described the one scene where Melba and Tilly wake up. Well, Tilly's not awake at that point, is she? She's sort of unconscious and impaled on a beam.
Until he just walks
away and leaves her. Melba just walks away and leaves her.
Yeah. Which Tilly died, right?
Eventually. But I think it's a bit weird. I mean, Melba was planning to kill her anyway.
Mm.
So, but just leaving her and not being sure seems an even weirder move for her. But then again, she's probably a bit muzzy from being bashed around and what have you as well.
And also, she's impaled. Like,
I think she's, although this show has shown us that's not necessarily the end. But I think she's thinking she's impaled, the blood, you know, the zero G internal bleeding, like she's dead.
Let's see. Let's
we're gonna start examining angles and stuff now. Because it's through her, it's like up on her shoulder, isn't it, up there? Well, below her shoulder at the top of her chest. On the right hand side, I think.
Let's see.
See, Chris is going to be getting all the mathematical equipment in now. He's going to be getting the protractor.
I got my rulers. And you've got your rule.
If you think that's... My rule is quite cool, but...
Okay, here we go.
Is this time for a zoom in?
This is less ambiguous, I have to say. Which they might have done on purpose.
Am I zooming in on Chris?
You can zoom in on Chris. So here we go. Yeah, no, there's no coming back from this.
I mean, that's right through. That's definitely all the way through.
Yeah. That's right through the heart, that is. That's...
I don't think it's... Well, it depends on the angle from the back. This is why I don't want to get into angles and stuff.
The lung, at least.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, she walked away because presumably that's some sort of plausible deniability that she can kind of get away with, right?
Maybe.
So you're saying she's dead, but somehow Drummer's alive?
Yes.
Drummer who got crushed between two huge, heavy tractor things.
Literally got cut in half.
Okay.
We saw Miller come back from the dead.
No, we didn't.
Proto-molecule magic.
Yeah, there's no... Drew explicitly told you there's no proto-molecule at work here. Anyway.
No. But Miller was alive. Ooh, I was right.
That's a fancy... Is that a measuring stick?
It's digital calipers.
Yeah. I love those. I love it when I see people use those on videos. I'm like, that is fancy and I love it.
So, what you do is...
What kind of things can you measure with it?
Well, anything. It's not big enough for that. you can get the girth, I suppose.
That's what I meant, girth. Yeah.
You can measure the inside of something, the outside of something, the depth. It's like a depth thing. So you can measure it in three different directions. And it's got an actual ruler on it as well.
A ruler or a rule?
Well, technically it's a ruler in as much as it doesn't start at zero on the physical thing.
But on that note,
has to be said that, it is at zero when you push it in.
Okay. That's amazing. Digital. God, and the age we live in.
And it's also got stuff on notes on the back about ISO pitches and measurements and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
ISO pitches? Do you mean like the international standard? What's the ISO stand for?
International Standards Organization.
That's it, yeah. Do you know there's an ISO procedure for making a cup of tea?
Mm.
Yes. Yes, because you told me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe I know that because you told me, yeah.
Speaking of which, I can't resist. I've been trying to resist the urge, but I'm going to have to make a cup of tea.
That's fair enough. Anyway, I mean, I've got other cool tools, but, you know, I don't think you want to see all of them, do you?
So ISO 3103 is a standard published by the ISO, or the International Organization for Standardization.
Yeah.
specifying a standardized method for brewing tea, possibly sampled by the standardized methods described in ISO 1839. It was originally laid down in 1980 as BS6006:1980 by the British Standards Institute, and a revision was published in December 2019 as ISO NP3103. It was produced by ISO Technical Committee 34, Food Products, Subcommittee 8, Tea. Oh, there's a whole subcommittee dedicated to tea.
Yeah, that sounds like just your kind of thing, Christopher.
All right, so to maintain consistent results, the following are recommendations given by the standard. The pot should be white porcelain or glazed earthenware and have a partly serrated edge. It should have a lid that loosely fits the pot. If a large pot is used, it should hold a maximum of 310 milliliters, give or take 8 milliliters, and must weigh 200 grams, give or take 10 grams. If a small pot is used, it should hold a maximum of 150 milliliters, give or take 4 milliliters, and must weigh 118 grams, give or take 10 grams. 2 grams of tea measured to give or take 2% accuracy, plus 100 milliliters of boiling water placed on into a pot.
Please come fresh back, boiling Drew. Water.
Fresh boiling water is poured onto the pot within 5 to 6 millimeters of the brim. Allow 20 seconds for water to cool. The water should be similar to drinking water where the tea will be consumed. Brewing time is 6 minutes for black tea, 5 minutes for leafy green tea, and 3 minutes for fanning green tea. The tea is brewed and then poured into a white porcelain or glazed earthenware bowl. If a large bowl is used, it must have a capacity of 380 milliliters and weigh 200 grams, give or take 20 grams. If a small bowl is used, it must have a capacity of 200 milliliters and weigh 105 grams, give or take 20 grams. If the test involves milk, then it is added. Oh, I don't even know if they've updated this for oat milk or anything like that.
If the test, he's been doing milk, this the whole time you've been away, Drew.
So if the test involves milk, then it is added to the bowl before pouring the infused tea into it. Oh, okay. So if the test involves, then it is added to the bowl before pouring the infused tea into it, unless that is contrary to the organization's normal practice. If milk is added after the pouring of tea, the standard notes the best results are obtained when the liquid is between 65 and 80 degrees centigrade. 5 milliliters of milk for the large bowl or 2.5 milliliters for the small bowl is used. And then they have some information on the bowls. So the standard
is excessive.
For what, 6 minutes?
For brewing. Or I guess, is that in a teapot? No, because there's a cup of tea.
I think it's in a porcelain teapot.
Okay. In a teapot, that's reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah, let me just check.
Is in a cup after 6 minutes. That's fucking cold at that point.
Yeah. Similar to drinking. Brewing time, 6 minutes for black tea. Is black tea what we drink? British normal tea?
That's correct tea. Tea. The only thing that
I think they mean tea without milk, just don't they?
Black tea is green tea is unfermented.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's the same. Yeah. It's the same leaves. It's not fermented. Black tea is that fermented.
To some extent, also it
makes it black.
I think it makes
it have flavor. So you know, if you've ever had green tea and gone to yourself, why do so many people go crazy about this? Literal just water. It's literally just hot water.
Is this like loose leaf tea, or is this like not? It's like tea bags.
No, it said loose at the beginning, didn't it?
Yeah, so if you're using
you're
a tea
measuring
bag,
the tea, so you can't measure an amount out of a tea bag without breaking it open, you know.
So
take
I think
half a tea bag.
A tea bag, I think maybe speeds the process up a little bit, makes the process a bit more efficient. You can jostle a tea bag in a way that you can't really jostle an infuser, right?
I don't know, it'll be the same. You can
give it a stir, give it a squish. You can
swoosh it around, yeah.
Push it around a bit.
Yeah. No, you need to update that for 0G, microgravity, low gravity.
Oat milk as well.
Also, you've got you've got I presume since it's an ISO that this is talking about standard temperature and pressure as well in the atmosphere, you know.
Well, this is only the Wikipedia. It's not
at the top of a mountain or in a submarine or anything like that.
Oh yeah, you can't
make on an airplane like... that's pressurized.
What's the highest point where water still boils?
Well, it boils quicker higher up.
Yeah, but at a lower temperature.
Yeah. At lower temp. Yeah. So it'll, yeah.
Oh,
so... same amount of energy.
Oh, and the amount of energy. So you can get it up to like 100 degrees centigrade, but you just have to blast it full of energy.
Well, no, because it will evaporate.
Oh, right, yeah.
I mean, in a pressure thingy, but then being up the mountain is kind of irrelevant at that point.
Yeah. Huh.
So, it's like, you know, puddles don't get to 100 degrees, but the water's still evaporates.
No.
It's the amount of energy.
Yeah, which I honestly never quite understood. We're told in school science, which you later learn is all fucking nonsense. We might as well be taught like dragons make everything with fucking knitting sets. Like there are three distinct states of matter. So,
you're going to be told that's a lie as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, is it four?
Well, there's also yeah, but there's also
there's five. Is it five because of woke?
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's
woke
gone mad.
It's Bose Einstein condensates.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that is, but I remember the term. Ish.
Is that when you get droplets of water on your window?
It's when the trans do science, I think. It's, you know, it's
I think it's when the dragons are knitting from now on.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Tilly gets left. Melba wanders off to find help, and she eventually bumps into Anna, who takes her to the sick bay. Anna gets her zero-G minor injuries are really fucking bad lesson from the doctor. Mm. And,
You'd think she'd know that.
Why?
Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but why would she know that?
I mean, she's not a spacefarer.
Yeah,
but you're not sure. Isn't that like?
Do you know everything that has to be done on if you're on an airplane or on a boat at sea?
They tell you the little basics about how to put on the mask and everything, right?
Yeah, but that's not this. That's a bit of an extreme thing. From there's been a massive disaster. Here's how you treat. I mean, she was a nurse as well. She wasn't like a full on doctor or anything. She was a nurse.
No, but if she's a nurse
working on Earth, she's got no reason.
She's got no reason.
She's got no reason. But it'll be covered. Like
how? Why?
Like if you work, why would you need to?
Because it's one sentence of information that seems to be like it's like yeah, it's zero G minor injuries. Fuck you.
Maybe
that's all they needed to say.
Yeah, maybe she forgot, maybe.
Yeah, but like that's. I don't think I'm going to forget that fact. You can test
me. No, you won't, no. I don't think Anna's character will, you know, the character of Anna won't forget it.
Yeah,
either.
Do you know what? That is obviously like a little bit of exposition there, really, isn't it? Like that's telling.
Not for no reason.
Yeah, but what I mean to say is that in.
She's got no reason.
I don't think Anna would know that. I know what you're saying, but I don't think Anna would know that.
Set in space and we see a lot of things happening off-world doesn't mean that everybody who's on Earth is going to suddenly know anything about... That's what I'm saying. Do you know all the procedures for everything that happens on a ship at sea? Every detail of everything? No.
One sentence
would do, but then what about the 100 other things that matter under slightly different circumstances?
Well, I think maybe it's not as simple as that. Like a submarine would probably be more mysterious, right?
Yeah,
because you've got the bends and things like that. Well, yeah, that's like someone knowing the bends, right? What the bends is.
I don't think you know what it is if you think you can get out of a submarine.
It bends is when you go up too quickly, isn't it? Or am I thinking of something else?
Nitrogen bubbles in your blood, but that on a submarine, I'm not going to get into this because this is going
to
get.
I'm trying to think of something that is as removed from being a nurse on Earth as space stuff. Is in that world,
yeah.
I don't think, but that has specific medical. But I can't.
Well, like malaria know, like, or something. Something that they don't have.
When you know, if somebody's got malaria.
It's like when there's a tropical disease that somebody's got, and that's why the doctors have to ask, "Oh, have you been? You know, if we can't work out what it is, they'll say, "Have you been abroad anywhere?" And they won't know every single tropical disease, but if they know they've been in X country, they can then go and look it up.
I think that's the closest we're going to get.
Yeah, that's as close as you're going to get. And she just hadn't, you know, she was just trying to help. It wasn't that she was being stupid or, you know, unknowledgeable. It was just like,
but it was also exposition.
Yeah, it was exposition. Like, yeah, simple injuries like
very,
can
very
cause.
Very much so.
Yeah. Simple injuries can cause.
I mean, we can
chalk
this down. Like, maybe I'm just giving her
more
credit
time
than
for some
deserves,
reason.
But maybe
why are you
giving
her less
credit
time?
Than
what have you got against her? It's not like she
did
that to Kamina.
I think she's a bright woman with a weirdly sophisticated haircut for out there. Well, we'll never know. I do like the fact that she insisted on making herself useful. Like, I mean, I suppose a part of that is because, like, she probably feels that overhanging guilt from the guy that killed himself.
Yeah, part of that, yeah.
Yeah.
But also she has, as she says, she's a trained nurse, so...
She's a trained nurse, and she's a bit like, she is that, that is within her personality, right? Like,
yeah, she is one of those sort of people. We all know them.
Yeah. Nice, that's good.
Not in a bad way. No, nothing bad about it. So anyway, then she then gets the call from Tilly, and goes to try and rescue her, and all she can really do is comfort her, unfortunately. But Tilly does let her know that Melba is Clarissa Mao. And she was trying to, not only was she trying to kill Tilly for knowing who she was, she tells her the overall aim that she has is to kill, discredit and kill Holden. That's what she wants. She wants revenge.
Can I've got a little bit of a question. I feel I should know this. I think it might be a silly question, but I just want to get it straight, right? So the thing that Anna picks off the, I'll put the picture up here. Where is it? Select back. You're right, I do have to look, focus out background every time. Okay, right. So in this particular bit here, right? So this is, she picks this off an unconscious security guard in the bay, right?
The baton, is that a baton or something, isn't it?
It's
a prod charge. It's a prod charge. Yeah.
Prod charge. Yeah. Like, okay. It's something like that.
Like a stun gun, a riot gun type stun gun thing.
Yeah, it's a close combat weapon because she uses it to kill Clarissa at the end. When Clarissa is on the Rocinante.
Kill. And she's a stun gun.
Well, she was out. I don't know if she's killed or knocked out.
I mean,
so with her, you don't know. Only stun gunned, your sense of who dies from what is all over the place. Do you think Shed's still alive? Heavens above.
Yeah, he's still waiting for Shed's head to come back with some molecule going ding, 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 ding.
I quite like that.
That would be weird. That would be a bit unserious for the show, though. You know?
Well, spoilers for Three Body Problem. But Three Body Problem, I think basically that happens. Yeah.
So this is her attacking.
Yeah, she's stunning.
I didn't know if that was a killing weapon or a knockout weapon.
Why would
you've used it in Deus Ex?
I didn't know what it was. It just made a zzz sound, and then she went limp.
When have you ever known a stun gun to be a lethal weapon? I mean, an accident could happen, I'm sure. But
I didn't know that was a stun gun. That didn't look like a stun to me. Because it happened from behind it. You don't see it.
Rewatch that bit now and come back to us.
Right, she's going to kill him, strangling Naomi. It's
sound?
Not obvious.
You need the sound. It is. It's literally a taser noise.
Okay. But it sounds okay. Now you've got that in my head. Now that it's a taser, it makes perfect sense. All right, but like it sounded to me like a drill.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I thought she just drilled her in the back.
But that wouldn't kill him in one go either.
No, but which I thought was a bit really out of character for Anna to like kill someone in the back.
Well, this is another thing. Why would Anna kill anyone? I mean, she might kill to save someone else.
But that's what she was doing.
But like, I don't think Anna's the kind of person that's going to be killing someone.
Yeah, when she fucking drilled her in the back. That's cool.
But Anna, I'm getting Oh, I was having a conversation with Rosie the other today. And we were talking about how, speaking of like problematic women that we suddenly get attracted to, have you seen Ben Shapiro's sister?
Yes. I have. Yes.
Who's Ben Shapiro? Is he one of those right wing nut jobs?
He's one of those right wing nut jobs. And so we've got to add it to the list of terrible.
Oh, a conservative political commentator. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
So scumbag, basically.
Well, you know.
You can fix the Hamish.
I'll fix it. Sorry.
Pardon?
I'll fix that. Give me a go on her.
But have a look at...
She looks a lot younger than him. Is she a lot younger?
She's
just not as angry. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The pictures of him, he looks smug, like you want to punch him. Or like sort of as if he's about to have a rant about something. You've squished her up a bit there.
I've squished her up a bit, you know, but...
Yeah. Abigail Shapiro. Oh, she's a famous vlogger. Is she? Okay.
I mean, famous is doing some heavy lifting there, I think. hang on, let me put me old background back.
Oh, wait a minute. No, there are two people called Abigail Shapiro. Who are not related. Who are both... No, one's an actress and one's a YouTube personality. Anyway, I'm... Yeah, I mean, she's very pretty, but I don't want to get... I mean, is she a right-wing nutter as well? Or?
Yeah, I
think so.
Oh, well,
there you go, then. Yeah. But there we go. So, you know, add her to the list of terrible people.
Yeah.
We'll fix them all.
Drew, you appear to be muted.
I intended to mute while I was moving the microphone on, but I think I did the opposite.
You moved it, then muted afterwards.
Then I muted afterwards, yeah.
One thing I did notice about this episode in general is there is a lot of zero-G stuff.
Yeah, well, they're in microgravity all the time in this episode, yeah.
Yeah,
because they are.
Is it expensive to do that, or is it just are they just layering on CGI?
It's probably like the Starship Enterprise shaking and everything. There's a wee bit of the actors doing it, a wee bit of shaking the set. Because obviously, when Naomi does the jumping around thing, that's obviously wire work.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the wire work is probably more involved, but like with the objects. It's probably not that hard to do.
A lot of CGI, stuck over.
Do you know what, though? Do you know what, though? Fuck me, right? Watching...
The blood-sucking Hoover was quite cool.
There's some episodes of Bewitched where Bewitched turns herself invisible and moves objects around. And there's literally bits where I'm like, how did they do that? It's all physical. It's all just things that sometimes, quite often, you can just see the fishing wire holding things up. There's a couple of times where I'm like, hang on, how did they do that?
So the character is called Bewitched.
The old black and white.
The show Samantha? Is Bewitched, and the main character is Bewitched.
Bewitched, right.
Yes,
Bewitched,
black
right.
and white, yeah.
Hang on, is that Audrey Hepburn or someone?
No.
No, it's we you have this conversation every time I mention Bewitched. You go, is it some random film star from the 50s or whatever? And I'm like, and I can't remember a fucking actual name.
Elizabeth Montgomery,
all right. Yeah.
I can't do the nose twitch thing. The whole of the bottom of my face can move.
That's kind of what she does, to be fair. She doesn't really... Yeah, she moves the top lip, is what happens. Great fucking show, though. That's going to be the next one we do for the audience, so stay tuned for that.
Oh, okay. Which virgins?
That's a very different name.
There have been remakes, hasn't there?
There's a movie that's terrible.
Theatrical film, 2000. No, Nicole Kidman and Will Ferrell. Oh my god.
Yeah, no, the problem with the film, like, I don't care, I care a little bit, but forgetting who's in it, the premise of the film is they're making a new version of the Bewitched TV show, and they're auditioning for someone to play the witch, and Nicole Kidman is an actual witch, as per the. So they just completely. No, just make the fucking premise. Don't change the fucking premise and make that. Make the fucking thing.
I never quite understand where these rants go.
I find Will Ferrell very hit and miss as well.
When it's a very well-defined thing, make that. Like, yeah, Will Ferrell's twist is cool, but
Will Ferrell is definitely more missed than hit in my book.
He is. I agree. Very hit and miss. I love Elf.
Elf's okay. I think I don't quite understand why it's not like it's as good as it, like why it's generally as well received as it is.
Is it? I enjoy.
Yeah, everyone says that Elf's like some people put it up there with Muppet Christmas Carol. And it's like, no, it's nowhere near as good as Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I put it in that vicinity.
Yeah.
But then Will Ferrell's often a guest star on some of the sitcoms that I watch, and he's whenever a comedian is a guest star in a show they're not in, it's fucking insufferable.
Yeah. Oh, what's the bleeping?
What was that, Hamish?
Oh, sorry.
Did you get an erection?
Yeah, that's what happens. It bleeps.
I didn't see that in the script there.
Yeah, you got surprised by its sound effect. It's in the little column at the side, the sound effect.
I don't, when I'm writing the scripts, I sometimes don't put everything in because I want a genuine stage reaction from my actors. Stuff, yeah.
You write your own scripts.
Well, I write the scripts for this as we.
Yeah.
That's why they're awful.
Okay. Plunger.
Especially my butt. He writes me so badly. But you know, I get, you know, it's that or the dole cue, you know.
Yeah. And I read out all the Sperling mistakes.
Yes. Is this turning out an episode of That's Life now?
Oh, the exact way you pronounce that tickles me. Can you repeat that?
Oh, I can't believe it.
No, don't, because it's yeah. And it's not on the script.
That's enjoyable.
The teleprompter's not saying it. Right, so, we've jumped a little bit by getting to the end of the bit on the Russ Nancy. So let's go back a wee bit, because there are some, mm-hmm. and there's also a really cool thing that I wanted to talk about that Drew mentioned as well a little bit ago.
Is it me?
It's not you, no, sorry.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
It was cool, I said. No, the thing you mentioned earlier was when, so Naomi is in the skiff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that annoys me about this scene. It's completely, like, it's irrelevant, but it annoys me, but I'll get to that in a minute. Mm. So, she's in the skiff, going back to the Ross and Ante, as per the last episode when she left the behemoth. And she gets suddenly slowed down, just like everybody else, and she's like floating there, you know. She comes to, and then she immediately tries to push, you know, to accelerate the ship to get towards the Ross and Ante again. And of course, the ship goes and starts catching fire. So the sparks and everything. Excellent CGI of space fires, because you know, things that, you know, little bubbles.
Explomo, indeed.
So the, you know, the little bubbles of you know, oxygen or whatever are catching, and then she quickly scrambles to get her helmet on. And then, boom, opens the door, lets, you know, evacuates the atmosphere and stops. Well, it doesn't stop the fire completely, because it puts it out, but it's already wrecked her console. So the console's still in her fire. So it was really cool, really well done. A lot of quite accurate-looking science in that. Not, you know, from her just sort of floating there to the, you know, to the fire and everything.
One thing that I thought was a bit strange is that she pulls out some calipers from the side.
This is what I'm. Go on.
Hold on, Christopher.
Say why you think it. Oh, sorry. Drew just disappeared. Okay, now say what you're going to say, because I'm. But I was going to get to this bit next, obviously.
Okay, I'm going to be
like skipping a little bit again.
She gets the calipers at the side after, like, Naomi's still in the skiff, and she throws it through the purple blistering field to see if she would survive it or to see if it's a hard barrier. And I'm just like, she just threw what could be quite a useful tool, just.
So you just stole the thunder. I thought you were
exactly
going,
what you.
I thought you were going to say them. I was thinking, A, she's thrown away something that could have been useful, and B, it's not her skiff or her tools. That was irrelevant. In school,
I was always the kind of person borrowing a pencil, and you were always the one lending the pencil.
Seems like it. So, So first of all, she's about to go out, or at least put her hand out, and she sort of hesitates. So you pretty much blundered.
And
right
also, she said a couple of episodes ago.
None of that crossed my mind whatsoever.
Whatever happened to a good belt that never throws anything away?
Yeah, I know.
No, she's using it. She's using it for something.
Hypocrite! She could use a can of Coke.
She got a can of Coke.
She'll have a can of something, like some packaging.
Cut a foot off and throw it out there.
Yeah, that's better.
She could have pissed out of there for all it matters, right? Like
pissed out of there. As a lady directing it specifically in one.
They've got she-wees in space or something.
That's right.
Okay.
There's some sort of pressure out of a she-wee though.
Yeah, I think you'd have a lot of splashback.
I've got to be honest, guys. This is not my area of expertise.
You're the one who brought it up. You started it.
Find a lady, go to space.
Yep.
We need an answer.
Hang on, you got to find a lady that's willing to use a shiwi, because there ain't that many of them.
No.
Really?
Because the thing is with the shiwi, apparently, is that they require like a bit of practice, and like a lot of women are not really that interested bollocked. In practicing how to harness their piss.
Yeah.
Well, again, I read a Twitter thread about women pissing upright without the help of a shiwi, and just saying, like, most of them were like, yeah, no, it works fine.
It's confidence, I think, isn't it?
Pull it apart and, you know, let it flow.
Anywho.
Yeah, I think the thing is, there's also quite a lot of women that have just no problem just squatting and pissing. It all depends on...
Well, this is fully standing up, like pissing in a toilet... As a gentleman might, or as somebody with a penis might, regardless of their gender.
A gentleman's piss.
It's the gentleman's piss.
I think it's like, if you've got I don't know what the inclination to try a shiwi, you've probably got the inclination just to squat and piss, right?
Well, if there was such a thing as a hiwi, which is a thing that you put on the end of your penis that simulated like the labia minora and majora sort of like interfering with the piss as it comes out and making it all go. Like, would you want to try that?
No.
Really? I would. That'd be amazing.
You know, I kind of knew Drew was going to say he would. Back to this scene before I completely forget everything, because this I believe this is actually important. The bit that wasn't important was that wasn't her tool to throw away. But the bit that is important is she doesn't really get that much information from it. She knows that it isn't a physical barrier, but how did she know that it's an inanimate object? How does she know that it's not going to hurt? It's still not going to hurt her when she passes through it?
And a metal object as well.
Yeah.
It's not like a bit of paper. You throw a paper airplane out there and it burns up, then you've got some more information to go by. Or gets wet.
Gets wet.
Might get wet. We don't know.
So after she's thrown 50 objects out of the ship, I don't think. I mean, it only tells her it's not a solid physical barrier. That's all it really tells her. And we do see it sort of continuing to float off.
So it's like space, no gravity. Well,
microgravity. Oh, there's gravity everywhere all the time. You know.
Well, I mean,
Some theories recently about that with the gravity.
All right. I don't know if you're allowed to answer this for fear of spoilers, but
we're not telling you about Kamina anymore. Shut up.
This station has the ability, it seems, within it to make gravity or to harness.
Yeah.
But it's
we don't know how big it is, really. I mean, you could probably work it out if you're of a scientific bent, but I mean, it could just be a gravitational.
If it's the size of our moon, but it's probably smaller than our moon, but it's big enough that it might have some gravity, right?
No, I don't think it would have, unless insanely dense. I don't think it would.
But remember, the proton molecule seems to be able to manipulate inertial fields.
Really more natural gravity. But you're right. If this is a station, like it's not like because Earth is really dense inside in the
it's very big.
and very big. But yeah. if it was very big, if we made a space station the size of the moon,
yeah.
it wouldn't have the same gravity because it doesn't have the same density as the moon.
If well, it was solid all the way through.
If it was solid all the way through, it could be, yeah.
Yeah.
if, yeah, but then that...
The material that was, you know...
That's not
yeah,
moon.
But
it's a space station.
That seems like a really weird project to do.
What causes
you want to
more
build
gravity?
A Death Star is what you're telling us.
what you what start, causes but... more... What causes more gravity, a pound of feathers or a pound of lead?
Well, no.
Well, a pound of lead, right? Because it's denser.
It's heavier. Yeah, lead's heavier. No. Hey! Well done. Well
Science
done.
Podcast, educational. Sorry about my background for some reason. Is this the lighting or whatever?
It's just no, it's part of the aesthetic because your of the camera's shot. Not
is it?
Lined up, I think. Right. No, don't. Oh,
oh that's a bit better. But then I look a bit like that, don't I? But then if you I do. That,
you do look like that. Yes,
a little bit like that.
It's the big light up there. That's the thing. If it's on big, then it gives the background. It you know it lights effectively. But if I turn that one off and that one big, then
there's an irrelevance for you to keep the show going. In the wrong direction. Do you guys call the main light in a room, like the fixed light, do you call it the big light?
No, just no.
Ah,
just
right, because that seems to be a thing that people do. Cause,
that's Scottish.
I thought it was, but I've heard it with Liverpudlian people as well. Elvis the Costello says it specifically in the song Alison. So be like, that'd be the big light and that'd be the wee light. It doesn't matter how powerful the light is or how physically large
to,
the
if I had to
you know,
differentiate,
the
I think I would say the ceiling light.
Right, okay. And I'd call it the big light. That's
I like big light though, that's better.
I'd know what you mean if you said big light.
Big light, yeah. Put the big light
you,
on.
You meant the sun?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
You've got a switch for the sun in your house, haven't you?
The ceiling light is like the sun of the room.
It's off at the moment.
Yeah.
What's your lighting setup like, Drew? Just out of curiosity.
What lighting setup?
It's a big light up there. Oh, my hand disappeared. Oh, up there.
Yeah. My hand still disappeared, but that's okay.
Because you've kind of got like a good mood lighting type thing. Like it sort of works.
I swear, I've always said it's not as dark as it looks on screen, but then people visited me. They opened my door. The first thing she said was, it is as dark as it looks on screen. Oh, man, so. Okay. Mm.
Do you know what wattage you've got rocking?
No.
What you're rocking there, you know?
Usually when the light bulb goes, I go and steal one from somewhere else. And then somebody else will magically that one gets replaced. So it's nothing lost. Oop.
That's not too bad. Oh, dude. Sorry, I'm just fucking around now, aren't I?
This happens sometimes. So, so the other bit, we skipped ahead a bit, and that's why we're going back to this. So, Naomi, there we go. So Naomi then gets, you know, makes her way to the Rosnante by a spacewalk. All right, Gandalf, what are you doing?
Sorry, I'm trying to, I can't.
Gandalf.
There we go.
Well, he's kind of doing spells off screen.
Yeah.
So, I should do a few spells just to get the lighting right.
So Naomi gets to the ship. She expects the three of them to be on board, obviously. Or actually, she might even expect five of them to be there. She might think that the film crew are still there.
Prax might come back. Ooh.
We told Probably you, not. We've killed Prax now, okay? Just forget it.
Shed might be back.
Yeah. Mm. So Naomi's...
Miller's back.
No, he's not.
They talk about him.
No, Miller's back. Yeah, Miller's back.
Miller's hat's back.
Hack. Is it well? Is it Miller or is it Miller Lite?
Hey! Right. So Naomi goes back to the Rosnante. She's looking for them. She can't find them. She eventually finds Alex first, and he is. Now, what is wrong with him? Because there's a couple of things.
He knocked his head making coffee.
Yeah, but there was something else wrong with him as well. I can't remember. I'd have to go and look again. It's Alex, so we don't give a shit. Really. Yeah, we don't really care.
That's what's wrong.
So she rescues Alex, gets Alex into the Medibay, then goes looking for Amos. Eventually finds Amos. Amos is also unconscious, floating around, and he does the witty Amos line of the show, because he's not got many lines this show because he's unconscious most of the time. But he does the witty line, and so she says something to him, and he goes, you've changed your hair. Oh, yes, passes out again the looks of it. Yeah, because she's got like the purple streaks in her hair. Yeah, so then she gets Amos to that. And then finds out, of course, that Miller is not on board. Hey, oh, fucking you guys, Miller. Holder is not on board. James is not on board. He went off with Miller. That was it. That's the thing that Alex says to her. It's like, oh, he went off with Miller. You know, and she's like, okay, he's bumped his head. You know, Miller, what? So, yeah, so that happens. And then while she's trying to get the ship, check the ship out and see what she can do and get it all going again, Clarissa arrives on the ship.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And she uses one of those, I've seen those cool little things in a couple of episodes, but this is the first time I think I've seen it properly used, and it's the emergency blister airlock.
Which
is a cool little thing, because, well, do you understand how it works? Because I thought Chris might have a question about this, but it seems like he's either ignored it completely or just taken it as read.
Does it force open an airlock, or does it cut open a space in an airlock?
No. What it is she's cut open the airlock door with the robot suit thing, and then used the emergency blister to go into it. But right, so then she goes in, she has a fight with Naomi, she's about to kill Naomi, and as we already know, Anna turns up and saves her. Now, Anna and Melba are both in suits. Mm. Naomi isn't. Mm. I thought you'd have had a question about that, or something. How did Anna get in without breaking the thing? You know?
That's a good fucking point. I never thought of that.
But that's why it's cool that I noticed that she took the emergency blister thing, and how it works is it's not just a blister. It's not a repair thing. It's an airlock. At least you can cut something open, put it on, or put something, you know, cut under it or whatever, and then it's got an airlock. It's like a soft airlock. It's not super. You know, it wouldn't last for a long time.
Yeah.
But it is an actual airlock. It's got a two entrance.
I didn't think of that. That's cool.
Yeah, it's like a bubble with two flaps.
Yeah.
Sounds like
my ex-wife.
Yeah.
I get no respect.
So you get, you know, so you go through one sort of set of bubbly, you know, it's like those.
And then we get a full-on alien cosplay. You don't think this is like a straight-up alien homage?
It felt a bit like it.
Yeah.
What bit?
Straight-up alien.
I thought you were talking about something to do with the airlock.
This is probably more of an homage of Avatar, where the guy.
No, they only do good sci-fi.
Hang on, are we talking Smurfs or Airbenders?
Smurfs.
Which is worse, Smurfs or Airbenders? Avatar.
I haven't seen Airbenders, and I didn't really like the James Cameron one.
I didn't particularly like Avatar. I didn't think it was as bad. It wasn't as bad. Cause I left it a long time before watching it. It was only like about 5 years ago that I watched it. It wasn't as bad as I was expecting, but it was bad. But Avatar The Last Airbender, Danny kept banging on it about at me and made me watch it, saying it was like amazing. And tons of people say it's amazing. Absolute fucking drivel.
Is it about farting?
Is it just another cartoon?
It's just another fucking cartoon. It's a Saturday morning cartoon.
It's a Japanese cartoon, so it must be good.
Like, when I was 8, I probably would have quite enjoyed it, but...
Anywho, so we've got our little hand-to-hand combat.
Oh, hang on a minute, Drew. Has Danny mentioned One Piece? That's the one that I hear a lot of people talking about.
No, she's not like an anime person or whatever. She just grew up with Airbenders, I think.
Do you know One Piece? Does anyone know One Piece?
I know of it. I've seen it around, but I don't know.
I'm not
really
going to watch it, but can someone describe just the plot of it so I don't have to bother?
It's. I believe, directly to Chris. This is a very,
you don't need to involve the rest of us.
It's a very superficial understanding. But I believe it's just at pirates anime.
I think that's the gist of it.
It's pirate ship anime. Which sounds fine, but not my cup of tea.
But apparently there's like a crazy number of episodes. It's known for...
That would be good if it was an actual thing. But,
if it was like 10 episodes or something, I'd totally watch it. But like...
The lots of episode attracts me to it more. But like, no, I want... face. You know, there's cartoons that are good. King of the Hill's fucking amazing.
Love it.
But
yeah, comedy cartoons are usually the only ones I watch.
Yeah, I want humans with human facial expressions, a little micro expressions and stuff like that. That's what gets me with. Like in this show, you know, when somebody's just playing a moment perfectly and doing an expression, like it's not strong, it's just a little expression that lets you know, oh, they're unhappy in this moment or whatever. I love it.
My dude, it has more than 1,100 episodes.
Goodness me, that's a lot.
That is appealing.
See, that no, just it's makes, still a makes me think though. They're just churning them out.
Mm.
They've broken, the Wikipedia page has broken it down. Piece? One Piece.
Oh, right, okay.
Ring Piece. So it's broken it down into seasons 1 to 8, 9 to 14, and seasons 15 to 21. With 1,000 episodes.
Actually, there must be a lot of episodes of some other shows like The Simpsons.
Oh. Or, so it's, and also, it's... this is amazing, right? There is no continuity as to how many episodes are in a series, right? So the first series has 61 episodes. The next series has 16. The third series has 15. The fourth series has 38, right? But there's one, you go down, season 19 has 109 episodes, and season 20 has 197 episodes.
That's like two a week. That's three, four a week. That's insane.
Well, we don't know how long a series is.
Well, yeah.
Because the 15 episode series could have been over 2 years for all we know. It's like
rules. Isn't a series the rules inherently bound by a year? Can a series be more than a year?
No, a series is just one section that's been made together. Usually,
I don't get this because it must be to do with plots or something or graphic novels. Because it's like, yeah, season 3 has 15, and then season 3 has 15, season 20 has 197. Like, that's beyond any like.
Certainly, make it difficult to release it on physical formats without being really odd.
I mean, there's no reason why, and there's like some of it is like there's like three seasons were released in 2001, like two in 2009, one in 2008, one in 2007, one in 2006, one in 2005, one in 2004. You know, like it's not. It's close to a season a year. Yeah, I don't know. But I guess in the internet age, you don't need consistency.
Why didn't
right?
they just split them? Why didn't they just split that big one up into smaller segments and make it series?
There's probably a reason.
Yeah, you know. And do you know what? Do you know how much I want to know?
less than
much.
Zero?
Not very much. Yeah, and then Anna turns up and tasers Clarissa in the suit, right in the back of the suit.
If you get it, she said, explain this, motherfucker.
I think it's weird that I get that thing. I never really saw the show, but I'm aware of it because of the girl that's in it was in other things, and that was like her, one of her other ones or something. So it's like, oh, that's the same girl. Yeah.
It was the teenage girl thing when I was growing up. So I knew it because it was on the same channels and around the same time as stuff I'd watch. You know, I think it was like Saturday morning kind of stuff or something like that. But it never really quite.
Is it Melissa Joan Hart? Is that right?
That's the one. Yeah, and it had this segment where her boyfriend called Sam used to get a ladder and come up to the window for a bit of conversation.
I enjoyed Clarissa Explains It All. Good show.
I like Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, that was good too. Was like silly in a good way. Nobody I never witched, saw lots of it, but yeah.
Yeah, I always thought the ants were pretty hot, to be honest.
Yeah.
Aunts, Chris. What are you?
Aunts. Well, they were American. They're ants. Worker ants are.
Yeah, I did wonder what you meant at first because I was thinking about the cat as you said that, and I was like, there was ants in it as well. Oh, yeah, the ants, right.
The cat was pretty hot.
Yeah. The cat was cool. Thereby saving the life of Naomi.
Do you know they did the Netflix did a gritty reboot of Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yeah, I'd heard that, yeah.
Oh, I watched a bit of it, but like they. They really, I was intrigued, but they really like amped up, like they made them cannibals.
Ooh.
And that, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. It's,
well, it's all
reaction.
Connected to the Archie comics thing, isn't it? The rebooted Archie comics.
Yeah, yeah.
From a couple of different shows.
Can't do cannibals today because of woke. That's
woke,
for sure.
It's woke, yeah, it's woke.
I don't want to see cannibalism. I can't empathize with somebody who's a fucking cannibal.
Well, not even a little bit.
Apart from Chris.
I bet you don't even agree that Harold Shipman saved the taxpayer millions of pounds either.
he's woke. He's gone mad.
Woke, gone mad. Do you know, I put him forward as Taxpayer Alliance Man of the Year.
Okay. So, Naomi, without her spacesuit, is somehow alive in the cargo bay that's got a big hole ripped in it. Okay. So,
I love when there's nonsense and Hamish just powers through.
Well, you've got if one of us doesn't
like an icebreaker.
If
all three of us go off, it just falls apart completely.
I think we have been guilty of going too far off track sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. We're not going to name particular things because that'll just get us to think about other things. But I'm trying to think.
How much cum would it take?
Yeah, to float a spaceship. Actually, what's the density? Oh no, see. Right, so what was the other thing? Oh yeah, of course, fucking Holden wakes up.
Wait a minute. So
it says, it's the end of everything. He saw it all.
Wait, can we go back to the bit? Can we go back to the bit of Naomi and the blister pack, right? So
what, the action figure of Naomi?
The so you can see the blister pack.
Right? I loved Chris's little. Yes, Christopher, I've got you full screen now, Chris.
Oh, brilliant, excellent.
So if you could back off a bit to the that side, put your hand down as well because you're that's it.
So you can see the blister pack there.
Yes.
So it's providing a atmosphere, then, isn't it?
No, it's sealed up the hole in the cargo bay's thing. Although, if Naomi, there is a bit of, I don't like pointing this out because it feels a bit unfair. But if Naomi thought there was a breach, you'd think she would have put her helmet on. You know, because a small breach that shows up could suddenly blow out into a big breach.
Maybe they thought the fight would be too confusing if everybody's got helmets
on. Yeah, there is that possibility. Yeah. I like the fight was pretty cool, though. She used those, you know, we've seen them before, those magnetic cargo clamps. She used that to hold her at one point, and you know, there's quite a lot happens in that little scene. Actually, it's very, it's more action than you used to. I mean, do we see Naomi fight before this very often at all? Can't think so.
No, she's not usually the one doing the punching, is she?
No, it's usually all Amos's.
Or Amos or Bobby.
Yeah. Bobby would have been proud of her, I think, in this one.
What's the fighting machine? The suit that Clarissa's got on. Then
it's an engineering thing. It's for
okay. So it's not a combat suit or anything like that.
No, see, it's got like tools and stuff on it.
I think it's it's very much like the like the one in Aliens. It's
like the power loader,
lifting heavy things, and
for lifting heavy things, cutting through stuff. You know, just a sort of. Like a heavy duty spacewalk suit, you know. Well, they're kind of more like, you see NASA astronauts with ones like a bit like it, where it's a bit more bulky than the normal thing, and it's got like, you know, tools and stuff attached to it. So
yeah, because it didn't look
as rough belt version of that, I suppose.
It didn't look felt a little bit like the Bobby's Marine suit, but it looked a lot clunkier.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not meant for combat. It's meant for working in space, basically. Just for.
I didn't realize it was like the UNN version of a combat spacesuit that wasn't as advanced as the Martian one.
No, they don't because we would have seen that in the battles. Yeah, we would have seen something by now because there's been lots of battles and stuff, isn't there?
I like the look on Anna's face. It's like, are you okay?
Well, no, because she just drilled her in the back, according to you. So, you know,
drilled her in the back. Yeah.
I like this Anna. Anna's, you know, Anna starts out kind of annoying, but becomes
she changes. Well, certain situations change her, as you say. What was I going to look up? I forgot.
Although part of me thinks this because she sort of becomes a different character in the books or something, so that kind of explains the...
Well, there is a bit of, there's a bit of an amalgam thing with a lot of characters. Like I say, Ashford's the same. Ashford is a slightly different character. And he is the captain of the ship from the start, etc., etc. Right, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry to see Kamina go.
Yep. She's a cool character, though.
Yeah.
Ashford's also cool.
Ashford is also cool, but I like their
I've got to be said. Yeah, that's the main thing. Their chemistry was fucking great.
Yeah.
Who, sorry?
Ashford and Kamina.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was too busy getting distracted by trying to look up the...
Oh, I saw a film with Bobby in the other day.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I think it's called Mortal Engines.
Oh, I enjoyed that a great deal. I didn't know she was in it. I watched it, I think, way before I watched Expanse.
Yeah, she's... I actually kind of think she's more attractive in it. I think maybe because she's a little bit, like, more rugged in this one rather than...
I'm going to need to rewatch it. I didn't really... Now you've told me that it's Bobby in it, I need to give that another watch. What do you think of it? Because it got panned. That's a film that it got panned. I went into it expecting, like, this will be enjoyably bad. But I genuinely enjoyed it. It's a really fun story.
I remember I read like the first couple of pages when I was chatting with a bloke at a bar when I was at university, and we were just talking shit as you do at university bars, and he was telling me about this book he was reading, which was the book that this is based off of. And I read the first couple of pages, and the fucking book was amazing, but I completely forgot like the name of the book, the art, the author. It's not Philip K. Dick or anything, is it?
No. It's a YA thing, isn't it?
Probably, but like the opening of that book is just kind of amazing.
Another picture of Frankie Adams that I haven't seen before.
I kind of enjoyed it. Like it was. I honestly would have enjoyed the film if they just showed you life along aboard
the traction
machines or something.
She's in Mortal Engines, right? It's funny you should say that because I saw that and I decided not to watch it. I don't know what it was. Someone put me off it.
I think
I might have started watching it.
It's quite YA and the concept is kind of silly, but I think the concept is also. Like it's so cities are now mobile and they're at war with each other.
Yeah,
like that either hooks you or makes you go what?
Yeah, I think I didn't. Maybe I watched it all. I can't remember.
It's quite enjoyable.
I mean,
I had a good time.
It's
watching
got a lot
it,
of people that I know in it as well. You know, Hugo Weaving and Patrick. Oh Mallard, yeah,
he's
Salmon,
good, but he just can't stop killing people. It's just like every problem in that he as a villain is like, I can solve this by murdering someone. And it's like, you know, you probably have an easier time if you just murdered fewer people. Like the fact that you just have to kill anyone who gets in your way, it's probably causing you more aggro than you think, you know?
Anyway, what else? Where were we?
I'd like to just mention there's a moment when... After Bobby's team are back on board the blah blah, and it's after Ashford offers the spun up ship as a place for
the behemoth,
Bobby's crewmates are sort of like, oh, fucking skinnies, what a bunch of wankers, and then Bobby goes, no, look, they're offering like, you know, this is humanitarian like assistance, it'd be ridiculous not to accept it, and they're doing the right thing, we need to work together in here. And
Bobby's and learned that lesson that they've still not learned. Yeah,
yeah, but they are to me unreasonably like
racist.
Not racist, just like that's a perfectly reasonable thing to say, and they're like, oh, fucking Bobby going off about loving the. No, that's a perfectly. Yeah, even if you're a bit racist in that situation, but you'd be like, yeah,
it's like they're where Bobby was like a year earlier or whatever. You know, they're not.
Isn't it a bit like when Cuba they send all those
much experience either? You know,
I think they overegg. I think in this moment they overegg it a bit. I think for me.
Yeah, it's the same with him. His reaction to Holden as well. It's a
little
exactly.
Like, shoot him in the fucking head. Yeah. Like Bobby would have never. She would have never been in that position.
Yeah. Is it a bit like when Cuba sends all those doctors to aid, you know, disaster relief and stuff like that? It's like, well, everyone looks down on Cuba, but like they have more doctors per capita than like anywhere else.
I thought you said Cubus, and I thought you were saying something that started with Q-U-B-O-S or something. I thought you were talking about some other sci-fi Cubus. I didn't know, like a game or something. Cuba sent, right, no, gotcha.
When Cuba Gooding Jr. sends doctors.
Yeah. Because that's what he does, also, he keeps a...
Have you seen, The Expanse one ship? Any good?
I haven't seen it.
What's
an
that?
Anthology of short web episodes of The Expanse, all relating to the doctrine of one ship, that there is only one ship and it has countless parts. As
every
a single
time,
body
the webisodes is a thing that they did at a certain period of time, and every show that's done webisodes, the webisodes were fucking terrible and pointless. Because they can't be part of the main plot.
Mm.
They're not going to put their best writers on it. It's going to be like the interns and stuff. Like They're not good. Maybe, you know,
it's to fill up the DVDs and stuff.
Yeah.
Fan service between series.
Did they do this? They did this for like The American Office, and that was kind of shitty.
They may have done.
It felt like improv, like Amdram.
Yeah. And they did like them, they did them for Battlestar Galactica.
They did. Two bigger ones for Battlestar Galactica and a few smaller ones. One of the big ones isn't bad, but it's pointless.
It's pointless. It's at best pointless.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen. You know it all. It's just you're seeing this from a different, slightly different point of view. But
if that's worth telling stories in, then make a show about that.
Yeah, they did it for Parks and Rec too, but it was really
they were bad as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it just feels like DVD extras or improv.
Well, that's kind of what they seem to be. Yeah.
Oh, we were messing around on set, and this is what came out.
If it's on a DVD or something, yeah. Anyway, let's.
They do a Telltale, but they've got a Telltale game. I wonder if. Yeah.
Somebody has suggested that we play that, or one of us plays it. I think they're trying to get me to play.
Yeah, I think I don't enjoy Telltale games, but that's I am sort of tempted to have a look at that one. So maybe we should like play it together and record it or something.
Yeah,
okay. Make the decisions jointly and stuff.
Okay. Although there are time decisions, so we've got to do some yelling.
Somebody's got to be in charge of the mouse, and they've got to make a
I'm happy driving Kamina.
I think that would be fun.
I think Kamina's in the
game. That's what I'm saying. It's just Kamina that you play. Concurrently to the first five episodes of season six of The Expanse, available in the X-ray bonus content section on Prime Video, whatever that means. DVD extras.
I have no interest whatsoever, but if we watch them, we watch them. I'm not against it.
Yeah.
If we're short of things to do or something.
Well, definitely don't watch them until you've seen other stuff, you know. Watch them while you're watching the start of season six. There's, you know, that's where they fit in. Yes, people are not heard of half the time, and a few unnecessary callbacks. And anyway, right, we're rambling here. Have we anything else of the actual Expanse episode to cover?
I think it's another sort of bridging episode. Like, I enjoy it immensely, but
yeah,
it's
good. I've watched it three times, and I watched it again earlier on.
Okay, so the one thing we haven't quite touched on, I think we might have glanced over it, is Holden witnessing what he believes to be the end of life in the universe, right?
Well, or at least on one system or whatever, you know. Because it appears that these stations can be a weapon.
Mm.
and fire the weapon through a ring into one system. That's what it looked like anyway. Just I mean, I'm not, again, no teleological stuff or anything. Just
yeah, I mean, I didn't know if that was a thing that actually happened.
Yeah, well, that's it. I'm not sure. Yeah, you're not sure if he's seen the future, the past, a simulation.
Yeah. Holden wouldn't know, right?
Because half of me was expecting to think that, like, the next episode was going to be everyone going, why is the sun blue? Everything's the same, but the sun is blue. Like, maybe it changes the color of the sun for no reason other than it's like maybe a galactic traffic light or something.
Galactic, what you've got, light bulb. You know,
sorry, we're getting rid of your system. We need to put a bypass through here.
Yeah, exactly.
Very Hitchhikers. Yeah, so he says, so what is it exactly? He says he's seen everything, the end of everything or something like that.
Yeah.
I think but he says, also, I've seen everything and it's very sexy.
The thing that this is a bit of a callback to for me is when Miller says, oh, sometimes I know too much that doesn't fit in my head, or what does he say?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
It feels a little bit like this is what's applying to Holden, right? Sometimes,
yeah, it's like it's like they're putting an information dump that's too big for the human brain to process, and that's what it felt like. The whole episode was him, like, you know, rebooting. Well, I mean, he does nearly die twice, so you know,
yeah, because Bobby is saying, like, she's like, oh, well, he's not really asleep because look at all this crazy brain activity.
His brain's going crazy, yeah.
Anyway, welcome to this dimension. I'll be your host, Chris. It's very similar to the previous one, just a minor shift thanks to the large hadron collider.
Yeah,
they just wibbled it a bit. Hydrogen. Someone cycled their bike into one of the tubes.
Collided with a proton.
Yeah. So,
protons flying around
here. Fucking protons.
Slow down,
around,
you bastard.
No fucking care for the fucking road or the traffic laws.
Holden's basically. This is a lot like. Sorry to keep going back to this.
Is it Mass Effect, Chris?
I'm not going to play Mass Effect because I'm just going to go, oh yeah, Chris already told me all this.
Well, it's. Mass Effect's, you know, it riffs off of a lot of sci-fi anyway, but I'm certain this, and don't get me wrong, Mass Effect's great sci-fi in my opinion. Pretty good sci-fi. Yeah, I like it. Story, the world.
The sci-fi ideas of Mass Effect, yeah, the problem with Mass Effect is not the sci-fi ideas. Yeah, they're interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that, it's a classic of that era of video game history, I think.
Yeah.
I love Martin Sheen in it as the elusive man. Have you seen?
Yes.
He was he was very cool, I thought.
Space President Bartlett.
Yeah, Space President Bartlett, yeah. Although he's more like Nigel Farage, isn't he? Space President Nigel Farage.
Yes, yeah. Although the more you rewatch The West Wing, so is Bartlett, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's another, yeah.
Well, don't let Stacey hear you say that.
Sorry, don't let who?
Oh, Stacey.
Yeah, but the thing is, I still love it. I still love the show.
Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Stacey would probably agree, I'm sure. But in Mass Effect, right, you stumble across an alien artifact, the main character, Shepard, touches it and gets a vision of what apparently this great invasion. And it feels a bit like this, you know, so it feels very, whether or not they're both, riffing off of something common or whether or not it's off each other or whatever.
I think it's a sci-fi trope, isn't it? The idea that something comes and I mean, it comes from the, I don't know unless it comes from, but it relates to the Fermi equation. Fuck me. The
Fermi paradox.
The thing they talked about the Fermi paradox. Is that the right paradox?
The great filter theory.
Yeah, why aren't there? Yeah. And the Drake equation. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah, Drake equation.
Yeah.
Which they mentioned.
Oh, but that just looks like high school algebra to me.
Oh, nice, nice.
That feels like a reference to something.
I'm still waiting for Hamish to cut us off and then tell us that it's the end of the show.
No, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure if we definitely covered everything yet. That's the main problem.
Have we
covered everything in the show? I think we have, because
I didn't make a ton of notes. I watched this last night after having a migraine and after I was like, I'm really fucking tired. I need to go to bed. And then I was like, oh, I need to watch The Expanse ready for the morning. So I'll read you all of my notes. Explomo, arm to get tablet, spin the drum, taser priest, Martians reasonableness, and vision.
Taser priest. See? Taser
priest.
Taser priest.